If you would open up your scriptures, 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, it's going to be familiar. We'll explain why in a little bit. 1 Corinthians 11. And let's begin. It's a long chapter, but let's begin at verse 17. The Word of God says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, that same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Now, as you can see, I went over what we'll go over again later on in our communion service. So you might ask why. Well, you have to look to this man sitting here in this third pew. A few weeks ago, Pastor was going through Hebrews, and he made the statement to the effect that some scriptures in Hebrews were taken out of context or misinterpreted, whatever the case may be. And he said casually, he said, one of the things we need to do is we need to read scriptures that come before a targeted scripture, and we need to read scriptures that come after scripture. So I heard that, and later on, after the service, I thought about communion. And I said to myself, I've heard the scripture that we use in our service many times, but I have not gone back to see what comes before and what comes after. So I had opportunity in preparing this message to go back and look at those scriptures, as well as some others that deal with the Last Supper. And it was very profitable. It reminded me that the scriptures we use are not really just our own. I would imagine probably 90% of the Protestant churches in the world probably use those scriptures. And like me, I'm sure many are familiar with it. But what comes before, what comes after? If I ask the congregation, we're family, most of you know what comes before and after. Praise God if you do. If you don't, maybe we will be, by God's grace, able to go back and look at those. And in addition, for this devotion, I went to some other scriptures to see again what God had to say regarding this Last Supper. So I also went to Matthew 26, 17 through 30, Mark 14, 12 through 26, Luke 22, 7 through 23. And these, the case, had a lot of agreement and were obviously inspired by the Word of God. Certainly not surprising to me. I'm getting mature, but it still does not surprise. Not surprising to me. After reading the Word of God, there was deeper insight and appreciation for the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And about the love he manifested toward his disciples then, and the same love he has for his elect now. That would be us. And in these times, I can tell you, it is my contention we need the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need it now. I'm on a sort of a crusade, if you will, because when I'm out in the world now, I'm finding that less and less often I'm hearing the gospel. Less and less often I'm finding people who don't admit their faith. But I'm finding, most incredibly, that I'm not hearing the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am not, well, I do know sort, in sort what may be going on. But it tells me that if I don't go out into this world, and sometimes with Christians, and I don't hear the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to start taking a look at who we are as saints. We need to start taking a look at how we function. We need to start taking a look at the Word of God. And we're not a political group, Pastor, and I'm glad you're here. But certainly, in America at this point, my crusade is that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will go forth, be it in buildings, at social events, wherever it may be. And it may be a cost. I'm looking for that. I have one friend, well, maybe the next friend, but I had one person who was in my acquaintance, doesn't seem to want to call me anymore. Doesn't want to hear about this thing that I have in Christ Jesus. So I'll take Jesus over him or anyone else right now. So the devotional meditation this morning is derived from the reading of the scriptures, because for me, while the world is going crazy, while the world is seeming to be coming darker, while the world is absence of the light of Christ, this should not be the case for here. We need the light of Christ to shine. Let all of us who are saints of that Most High God be glorying in our Christ Jesus, glorying that he is our Lord, glorying that he is all-sufficient in and of himself, and also for us. So back to what we do here today. I looked at what we do in the church, and again, with the words from our pastor, I went back and I looked and I said, what about this thing of the Lord's Supper? What about this thing that we do? Let me personally look at it, and if you are similar in ways, there may be good and bad in some ways. But certainly, it is one of the high callings and the high times of the church for me personally. When we come to this table, let me not get emotional already. When we come to this table, to me, it's such a time for devotion to our Lord, such a time when we focus in on him and what he has done. And the Lord has blessed me as I look through the material, the profitability of doing just what you said, Pastor, going through the scriptures, knowing what he says, not the tidbits, the sound bites, but going through and see what has the Lord said. And as I did that and finished reading both in 1 Corinthians and in Matthew and Luke and Mark, a phenomenal thing occurred. I was able to delineate three aspects of that process, and I thank God for it. I was marveling as I was trying to put together, even for this devotion, what is it that you had discerned? So with God having all the glory, and the one who willingly sacrificed himself for the remission of sins of the elect, of which I am one. I came up with three things. The first profitable gleaning from the scriptures was that of preparation. And in particular, in the Holy Communion. I make the confession, my brothers and sisters, that there have been times when I came to the Lord's table, preoccupied, casual in my demeanor, consumed by earthly matters, anxious or depressed or angry. You guys probably don't know I do get angry. I mean, I'm mild mannered, but there are times. Slothful, not doing some things I could have done as well as I could. Nonchalant or otherwise of less than positive attitude and demeanor. I thank my God that those times have been few. And I love him enough to where things are done and the word of God is read and prayer and meditation take place to where I think some of those negative traits have been put at bay. I thank God that the scriptures are there to help me as well. Still, the scripture reminded me of this ordinance, and that is the glory of Jesus Christ, and to remind me of his sacrifice for my salvation as well as the salvation of others. To this end, it's important to prepare to come to communion, or we actually, in my perspective, we do a disservice to Christ Jesus. Significant from the reading of the scriptures was Paul's admonishing of the church of Corinth. And Pastor has gone over that at times, a wicked church in multiple ways. And from the scriptures, looking at a more detailed reading, one could see the church, even in celebrating the Lord's Supper, communion, that there was a lack of preparation, there was a lack of consideration, and there was even poor behavior. In emphatic fashion, Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians 11, 17 through 22. Let's look there. We should still be in Corinthians 17 through 22. Back to the Holy Writ. In communicating to the church at Corinth, he says, "Now is this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must also be heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before others his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What have you not houses to eat? Houses to eat and to drink it. Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." As indicated from the text, inappropriate preparation displayed by strife, conflict, insensitivity, cliques, impatience, lack of sharing, and even drunkenness was taking place in the church. And it certainly appears that some had not prepared to participate in the ordinance commanded by Christ to signify the new covenant in his blood. Instead, some seemed to be celebrating in themselves. They gloried in themselves rather than glorifying the Savior. This was not consistent with 1 Corinthians 11, 28 and 29, which reads, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat that bread and drink that cup, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In light of the scriptures, what should we do in preparing to come to the Lord's table? We have a great congregation. I think the appropriate solemnness of what we do, I think, again, our handling of the elements, our attitude has been great. But according to God's word, we need to be on guard, lest we, like some places and churches, fall away slightly, maybe more than that. I pray we don't fall away or diminish our participation in the communion at all. But it does take place, as I said. My sense of the world is that, I don't know if you get a chance to visit other churches, but if you do, first time when I visit churches, the first thing is I don't hear about a communion service regularly. So that's one indication. And I personally have been part of church services where the idea was to get the elements out. I've been in some very large churches. And it's to get the elements out, get it done, get it back, get it over. And God may bless that. I don't know. That's his providence. But there's something about this ordinance that makes us close to him, that makes us revere him, that makes us be sensitive, that makes us say, oh, Lord, my God, that if you would even meet with us, it's the beautiful thing. It's finding favor. We love you because of that. We know you love you. And that you love us in spite of even whom we are now. So in that preparation, looking at some sources, I love Spurgeon. I would have loved to have heard him preach. It said at one point, and he said it himself to a relative, he said, not only did he have the command of God, but he said, if God so willed, I can make people cry. And if the Spirit of God moves, I can make them laugh or at least be content. But I also know from his writings, and he was not prideful about it. He understood the gift that was given to him. So praise God for it. And if I could be a tenth or a hundredth as eloquent, I call that favor as well. But this is what Spurgeon said in a sermon he did in 1855. And he entitled the sermon, not surprisingly, This Do in Remembrance of Me. But in the sermon, he's talking to the congregation about how do we have reverence for God? How do we treat this as if we are prepared to come to the communion? And while I said he was eloquent, he was also straightforward. He was in an era where the gospel was taken seriously. So he says as part of this message to this congregation, he says, but before you can remember Christ well here, and this is during the Lord's Supper, you must ask the assistance of the Holy Spirit. I believe there ought to be a preparation before the Lord's Supper. I do not believe in, and he seems to have blotted the name of the original person, but he says, I believe in Mrs. Toogood's preparation, who spent a week in preparing and then finding it was not the ordinance Sunday, she said she had lost all the week. I do not believe in that kind of preparation. But I do believe a holy preparation for the Lord's Supper, when we can on Saturday, if possible, spend an hour in quiet meditation on Christ and the passion of Jesus, when, especially on the Sabbath afternoon, we can devoutly sit down and behold him. Then these things become reality and not mockeries, as they are to some. I fear greatly that there are some of you who will drink the wine and not think of his, Christ's blood. and vile hypocrites you will be while you do it. Take heed to yourselves. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh what? Damnation to himself. This is a plain English word. Mind you, mind what you're doing. Do not do it carelessly. For all the sacred things on earth, it is the most solemn. So again, one of the words that came from the devotion was that of prepare, prepare. From another source, and I can't belong this, running out of time. I got some other sources that dealt with the issue of preparation. The reason I'm bringing this is for myself primarily. This is not an accusation out there. This is not, because the pastor is the one who will make those things known if it's to be known about us as a congregation. But for me, I had a checklist and say, look, Leo, are you doing these things? We know what's your attitude when you come to communion. I want to be pleasing to God because he has been righteous to me. But in the preparation for myself in communion, one of the suggestions, again, from some resources, as Spurgeon has just said, it says, take some time before the communion service at home or arriving at church early. Well, that's going to be hard for me as late as I am most of the time, but praise God if he changes. Examine yourself to see if you are in sin. For me, I do fall short of the glory of God. And even at this stage, I do sin. But by the grace and blessing of God, I don't wallow in it because I know my sin is forgiven. I'll acknowledge it and say, yes, that was sin. And in the same breath, thank you, Lord, for the remission of that sin and any others I might commit except for the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit. Confess any sins. God already knows for me that's no difficulty. And then repentance, a little more difficult for the human race. We do sin, but retracting, getting rid of, undoing, not doing again can become a little difficult for us. And then the beauty of preparation for the Lord's Supper. I remember to accept God's forgiveness. I believe in his promise of forgiveness and have been forgiven for sins past, present, and future. So that was one of the things that came. The second P that came up was participate. John Wesley reportedly participated in communion 4 or 5 times a week. Someone said that when he was asked how often Christians should partake in communion, he answered, as often as you can. Well, our church leaders in the church body don't celebrate communion that often. And that's fine. John Wesley seems to be more often in communion than the rest of us. But what we do here is that when we do communion, whenever we have it, is that we know that it's an ordinance. We know we do it appropriately. And that this ordinance will take place here as appropriate because it is only one of 2 ordinances given by Christ. Participate. There are some. I've noticed over the time that, you know, we have a smaller congregation, you know, at 10 o'clock service in or even in the evening when we have communion. So there may be reasons for that. But certainly as we have an opportunity, we should participate. In doing my study of everything, it came to mind that one of the reasons that we want to come to communion, I mean, there are many, but one of the reasons is that we want to remember Jesus, our sacrificial lamb, God himself. And this is a God who, in spite of Leo's total depravity prior to salvation, I mean total, I mean, I have no qualms. I know me again as well as anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ. In that total depravity, he found favor again to come, send his spirit, drawing me unto himself to salvation. And I have to thank him for it, because the depravity, especially in hindsight, was so great. It would take a loving God to do that. So I praise him for it. The other reason we come is to remind ourselves, when he said, do this in remembrance of me, is that as for me and everyone who was a saint here, there was unconditional election. You know and I know, nobody worked your way into the eternal kingdom. Couldn't, can't, won't, but the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Godhead, even, had called us to salvation. We would not be ones with eternal life. And then, of course, the limited atonement. I marvel and I thank God, and when I come to this table, I say, thank you, God. I know some really good people. I know some rich people, poor people, but I know some, not that stuff, but I know some very good people. And at this point, the gospel falls on deaf ears. And I say to myself, I say, you know, why can't they see this? But the word of God has told us again, there is a hell and there's a purpose for those who are separated from Christ for eternity. They cannot bring themselves into the kingdom themselves. So I know that this thing, when I'm at the table, when I say, the Lord, he is my God, he has saved me, this represents his body and his blood for my redemption. Everybody doesn't have that. Everybody won't get that. The Lord is not saving everybody. And for me, sometimes, again, good people, it pains me at times I say, good person, but man, should the Lord not call you, you are headed to hell. And so that's part of our job, is to save. We don't know if the Lord has called someone. So because limited atonement is that limited, thank God we don't know who is to inherit the kingdom of heaven. So my second mission is I'm evangelizing. Seems to me the times are getting dire and crazy. And I'm saying, I don't care what the relationship, if I can proclaim Christ Jesus to you, I'm doing it. Friend, foe, whoever it is. And again, if anybody has any slots to have a friend, I could use that, because some of my other friends are bailing on me. So just let me know. I got slots open to be a friend of somebody. Let's go on. And then I know the irresistible calling. I fought, and really wasn't until I met my wife, God found favor. I didn't need this. I didn't need the blood. I didn't need the broken body. I didn't need it because I was doing just fine. And in spite of that, the Lord Jesus said, you are mine. And it wasn't until quite a while where I said, you know what? This is happening and that's happening and that's happening. I think I better yield, because I'm not winning. And so praise God, he is a God with all authority and power. And then, lastly, in this segment, talking about participating, is that I love him enough to know that after saving me, cleaning me up, providing all kinds of good things, he's preserving me. There is nothing the jihadists can do. There's nothing the government can do. There's nothing the people of the world can do. I am his. So he will preserve me until this end, and even beyond that, into eternity. So praise God. Running out of time, so let me do this last part prayerfully. The last thing that came to mind that's also a P is praise. I've done some of that really already. I just praise him. I love him. I praise him. Because I think the magnitude of what he has done cannot be really appreciated by a human being. I hope with a glorified body at some point I'll be able to appreciate him more. So I praise him. So I praise him with my lips, praise him with works, not unto salvation, but works, as I have opportunity. And if you think about what God has done, you cannot help but praise him. Do me a favor, if you would, in closing. Let's go to Matthew, book of Matthew, and let's go to the 27th chapter and go to the 27th verse. So we've got 27th chapter, 27th verse. While going through my readings, I came to this part in praising God and thinking about what he has gone through, and he's so worthy of praise. We tend to think of the body and the blood, and we think about now it's the right hand of the Father. But let's backtrack and see what was happening while he was still here. And let me just read the text. Here we go. Matthew 27th chapter, 27th verse. And we should start, let's 26. Then he released Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him, and they put on him a scarlet robe. And then they had a plaited crown of thorns. They put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that, or after they had mocked him, they took the robe from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. One more read. Let's go to the book of John, 19th chapter, verse 32 through 34. Now, this is the Lord Jesus, our God, Savior, Lamb, perfect one. And it says in John, "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, not the other thief, and the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water." So I have to praise a God who would condescend to come, first of all, to this wicked place to live, and then would sacrifice himself, give himself up willingly, so that there would be redemption for those who are the elect. When we come to this table, this represents what he has done. The magnitude is too great for me. So I say, Lord God, I thank you, I bless you, I give you honor, and I give the praise that is due only to you. So if you're like me, the prayer is, you may be there and the table is all it should be. I seem to be growing. But if not, when you come to the table, be prepared, participate, and do praise the name that is above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, and the Lord bless all of you, and me as well.